Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
All right, one more hour to go here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators all throughout the rest of this week. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in and being part of the show. I'll be on again tomorrow from 10 to noon. Well, it'll be the DiBiase brothers filling in for One Bills Live tomorrow. And, of course, today it'll be Nate Geary filling in once again for Steve Tasker and the combination of Matty Glab and Chris Brown. Joining me now on the Wester Hotline, really excited to talk to this guy. And if you don't know him, he's a very big hockey analytics guy on Twitter, at ShutdownLine on Twitter. In fact, Corey Snyder joining us here on WGR. Corey, thanks again for taking the time to join us here, and happy Canada Day to you, and hope you're doing well and safe during these times.
I'm doing all right. Thanks for having me on. It's going okay. It's a little weird because today is supposed to be a pretty busy day for us hockey people.
Yeah.
But we're all just kind of waiting.
Yeah, absolutely. Today would have been the opening day of free agency, and lots of exciting and weird things that will happen on free agency day, whether it's really unique signings or big trades that happen, or sometimes nothing happens really at all. But yeah, unfortunately, everything's kind of been thrown into a frenzy here due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But thanks again for joining me, Corey. But I'll start off here with a pretty simple question for you. Just watching the Sabres and looking back on tape of all these games that you've been able to watch, just generalize what you saw from the Sabres, especially this season in year one under Ralph Kruger's head coach.
Well, for me, what I saw is there's a lot of players who were good, like in other places, and just when they put everybody on that team, it just didn't seem to work. The only one who they brought in from the outside that seemed to play really well was Henry Yokoharu, and a lot of the other guys, they had like their own individual skill sets, but it seemed like they were just kind of, they couldn't do what they do best. Like Brandon Montour is a very good skating defenseman in Anaheim, and in Buffalo, it's like, he can only skate up to the red line and dump the puck in, and that's really it. And the other guys, like Connor Sherry did okay, Marcus Johansson did okay, but they didn't really exactly change much for them as far as the final results go.
And, because, I mean, obviously the offense this year, certainly, I mean, you got your top piece in Jack Eichel. Jeff Skinner is there under the new contract. Unfortunately, he kind of disappointed in production this year and had a pretty significant scoreless streak. And then other than that, you've got your Sam Reinhardts and you got some other nice pieces. Victor Olofsson became a really nice piece to play along with Eichel and Reinhardt. But is second line center, in your opinion, the most pressing need for this team going forward, is to get that guy behind Jack Eichel? Or do you see some other area that they need to cover their bases on in order to kind of make that turn towards becoming a better team going forward?
Yeah, I have it as like 1A, 1B for them with the second line center hole, because like off the top of my head, I can't remember who was their second line center for most of their games last year, because it seems like they rotated every five games or so after trading O'Reilly and Mittelstadt not working out there. But cleaning up the just mess they have on defense is the other one. Like last year, what frustrated me the most is that they brought in a lot of good, like, they brought in good players, but they ended up with like 9 defensemen on their roster and like 6 right-hand shots. And once everybody got healthy, they couldn't figure out who to play. And that just seemed to screw everything up. So just sorting out the mess there, whether it's trading Ristolainen, trading Montour, trading like Colin Miller or somebody, they just need to get a good balance there.
Yeah, I'll get to some of the guys on defense here real quick, but obviously looking at the offensive group, they've only got four guys under contract heading into next season, with Marcus Johansson only having 1 year left on his deal before becoming an unrestricted free agent. Is anybody in that group of unrestricted free agents of any interest that the Sabres should bring back, whether it be Johan Larsson, Zemgus Girgensons, Jimmy Vesey, or Wayne Simmonds?
Yeah, I really liked, when I watch Buffalo games, I really like what Girgensons and Johan Larsson do. Like, they play a lot of, the team as in general plays a lot of dump and chase, and those two are really good on the forecheck. They're really good at getting the puck back, setting up cycles in the offensive zone. But I feel like you might be able to get somebody that can do the same thing for less, whether it's like calling up Rasmus Asplund or finding a cheaper free agent. But I don't see the harm in bringing like either of those two back, because I really like the line they had with Kyle Okposo, even if it was just like a fourth line.
Yeah, for sure. They definitely were able to produce really well all throughout the year when they were healthy and playing with each other. They certainly brought that nice little that little extra boost from the fourth line, third line, however they wanted to put it, because Ralph Kruger never really liked to number his lines. He just liked to kind of put them all together. But the one contract maybe that's really of interest going into this offseason for the Sabres is Sam Reinhart. He's a restricted free agent. He was being paid $3.65 million per year under his previous contract. That was for 2 years. And looking ahead towards his next contract, Corey, are you looking particularly, what do you think his value is? Is he right there with his comparables in the NHL to getting paid, and how long do you think the Sabres should be looking to get Sam Reinhart locked up for?
I'm not sure of the numbers off the top of my head, but he's got three 20-goal seasons in a row, and he's been a very good top six player for them for a long time. So I think they can get away with paying him with something in like the $5-6 million range. I'm not really sure on length though. But that's typically what guys like him are making, after their bridge contracts. Now, like I remember Elias Lindholm, he got a good six year contract from the Flames, I think, a little under $5 million. So I think if they can get Reinhart for something like that, then I think they're pretty happy.
Corey Snyder on Twitter at ShutdownLine, joining us here on the Wester Hotline on WGR. One more question about the forwards here. Obviously, the Sabres have some other good restricted free agent names that are going to be there to re-sign, and Dominic Cahoon, obviously Victor Olofsson, and also Curtis Lazar. The guy that I wanted to ask you about is Lazar, just because at one point we all thought, like, former first-round pick of the Senators, kind of flopped after a year or two, went to Calgary, never really found his groove there, comes to Buffalo on a chance there, and finally, you know, in like December, finally makes the team and actually was able to contribute very well. Just talk about and expand a little bit on just the impact that he brought to the Sabres and maybe what his worth is going to be going forward, because I'm sure that he's not going to be, you know, north of $1 million per year, but certainly the effect that he had on the ice was certainly helpful for the team when he was on the ice and making an impact.
Yeah, as far as like finding a third, fourth line forward, I think you could do a lot worse than him, and he's not going to make that much money. So like a lot of the problems with Buffalo is that their depth in recent years was just a mess. Like their line combinations always kind of look like just random numbers picked out of a hat. But Lazar's lines usually did okay as far as driving play went. Like, they spent more time in the offensive zone. Like, Lazar himself, his stats aren't that impressive, but his lines are usually pretty good. He's decent at carrying the puck into the zone, which is something the Sabres need badly. So I think bringing him back on a cheap two-year deal, probably not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
But I always wonder with guys like him, like, is there a guy in your system that's better than him that you can get for a cheaper contract? But with him, it's probably not that big of a deal.
On to the defensive group now. Obviously, the two big names that the Sabres have to kind of make a decision on is Rasmus Ristolainen and Brandon Montour. And obviously, both of those guys are the talk of hockey analytics. Obviously, Rasmus Ristolainen for several years just because he's been such a liability on the ice for the Sabres. And since Brandon Montour got here, the numbers haven't really fluctuated all that much from when he was playing in Anaheim, when maybe thought that maybe coming to Buffalo would have been a beneficial thing for him. But what do you think the future of these guys are here in Buffalo? Would if you were the general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, would you look to be keeping these guys, especially like Montour, because he's a restricted free agent, needs a new contract, or would you be looking to try and move on to see if you can get some better assets for your team going forward?
With Montour, I would probably trade as quickly as I could, because he's 26 years old and they have kind of a better version of him in Colin Miller on the roster, and a younger, higher upside version of him in Henry Yokoharu. So, like, for me, I don't see why he would be on the team next year unless they just can't find a trade partner. With Ristolainen, it's a little more complicated, because I thought they had a really good chance to trade him a couple of years ago when he had a lot of value from power play time. But now with 2 years left, $5.4 million, and everybody kind of sees through the veneer now that his five-on-five play is not very good. So I feel like it's going to be tougher to trade him, but I think he still probably has some value, like, with hockey people, because, like, he's still big. He can still skate well. They probably might see that and think, okay, maybe we can make something out of this guy. So I feel like trading both of them would be ideal, but I think Montour might be the easiest to trade, and he might get you a decent return, because I really think they just need to move on from him.
Is there anything analytics-wise with Ristolainen that would maybe be able to sway some of these teams to think, like, okay, he'd be an okay ad? Just because, I mean, we've kind of heard where it's just like some of the analytics people from teams are just like, no, we shouldn't be trading for Ristolainen, that's a bad idea. But yet some people who maybe go more based on the eye tests and everything like that may like him for the way his physical play and his offensive capabilities from the blue line, and they might like that. But is there anything analytics wise that maybe you could point to say, like, okay, he actually would have some worth being traded to a team or for some GMs being able to acquire that type of player?
Like, as far as stats go, there's not really anything that paints him in a positive picture. But, like, the best thing you can say about Ristolainen is that he's just been in way over his head with Buffalo, because ever since he was brought there, it seems like he's playing 20, 25 minutes a night. So maybe a team is thinking that if we put him in more of a sheltered role, playing second, third pair minutes, maybe we can get some better results out of him. But he's also making, like, over $5 million, so that's a tough sell.
Corey Schneider from on Twitter at Shutdown Line joins us here on the Western Hotline on WGR. Also want to ask you, just I don't know if you have any thoughts about the Lawrence Pilot impact with him leaving for the KHL, and just he was a guy that personally I watched him develop when he came over from Sweden to come over to North America. I watched him develop in Rochester quite a bit, and his development in Rochester really was going along quite well with his puck moving abilities and the way that he can play with the puck and some decisions that he was making with the puck offensively and in transition as well. In the NHL game, it seemed like he definitely had to work on some things, but he's going to be going over to the KHL, and it certainly was a bit of a debate because they seemed like they were in constant contact and hopeful that they could get a new deal signed at some point, but he flies off to the KHL, and the Sabres could certainly retain his rights. But was there anything with that you have a thought on with just him leaving the Sabres and going for greener pastures, I guess, if you want to say it, in the KHL rather than sticking around in Buffalo?
Yeah, it just goes back to them not getting rid of one or two defensemen last year, or last summer, I should say, because there was just no playing time for him available when the season started, because they brought in Miller and Yokoharu, but Bogosian, Ristolainen, Montour, all those other guys are still there, and you can't play nine defensemen every night. So it was going to be tough for Pilot to get in the line, just because, like, not really on merit, just because he was so low on the depth chart to begin with. I thought he might have an inside on it just because he's a lefty, but for whatever reason, the Sabres just didn't really see eye to eye with him as far as getting in the lineup. So just kind of he was just kind of the odd man out, and it was a little unfortunate because I thought he was a pretty good defenseman, solid NHL defenseman at the very least, even if he wasn't a star. Like, in the stats I tracked, like, the best thing going for him was that he just didn't turn the puck over, and that was something the Sabres defense had a problem with last year.
The one, at least the one positive that the Sabres do have on their blue line is Rasmus Dahlin, and obviously, his season this year in his second season didn't get off exactly to a great start, and he got injured. But right after his injury, the concussion that he suffered against Tampa, it seemed like he got back to form. He got his game back. But I just want your thoughts overall on what you saw from Dahlin from year one as a rookie, an 18-year-old, to year two as a 19-year-old, and maybe what we're going to see from him going forward and what your expectations are of him.
Yeah, I loved what I saw from Dahlin in his rookie season. Like, he was just flying up the ice with no regard for positioning or anything like that. And I was hoping he would be like that type of defenseman who kind of breaks the mold of what a defenseman is supposed to do. And the second year, I felt like he was playing more of a traditional style. He wasn't challenging at the line a lot. He wasn't exactly skating up in the play. He was kind of standing back, just making stretch passes. So I felt like he was restricted or held back a little. Like, his final results were okay as far as exiting the zone goes, which is one of the stats that I track. But it wasn't like a game-breaking defenseman like I thought he could be last year. Like, last year I thought, okay, this guy looks like Cale Makar did now. But this year, I think it was a little tougher for him. He got hurt. The league might have figured him out a little more. It's hard for a defenseman to succeed in this league, no matter how talented they are. So maybe that's just what that was, and year three will go better.
Right. Last thing I'll ask you here about the Sabres goaltending-wise, because obviously I think that Linus Ullmark won over the starting role as the year went on, and obviously Carter Hutton had the vision issues that was revealed once the season was over, and the numbers kind of showed that his struggles were there. He's 34 years old. Linus Ullmark, had the solid production, but there were times that, you know, obviously he didn't look like he could be kind of capable of carrying the workload and maybe being a full-time number one. But what do you think needs to happen with the goaltending situation in Buffalo? And do you think that maybe they need to look for a better option behind Linus Ullmark and move on from Carter Hutton? Or what are your thoughts with the goaltending situation in Buffalo?
Well, if Hutton's problems were just the vision issue, I think their current system is okay, like as far as a 1A, 1B tandem goes. And it's pretty tough to predict goaltending. Like in Carolina, they had Curtis McElhaney and Peter Mrazek carry them to a playoff spot a couple of years ago. So I think Ullmark and Hutton can do something like that, just provide average goaltending going forward. And I think Ullmark's up for a new contract this year, but apparently not that expensive.
Right.
So I don't think there's a harm in bringing those two back next year, just because the Sabres have so many other issues to sort out. Like just filling out their forward core and fixing their defense. That Hutton and Ullmark seem like the one somewhat stable thing, even if Hutton's coming off a really bad season.
Yeah. Last thing I want to ask you here before you go, just want to get your thoughts on the return to play format that's still expected to happen. Obviously, they're looking like they're going to be playing in Canada for the return to play format in Edmonton and Toronto. Just want to get your national thought perspective on maybe who has the best shot at winning the Stanley Cup this year, and what your thoughts are about what this format's going to look like and how it's going to play out.
Yeah, I'm a little skeptical on if they're going to finish this or not, just because I don't really know what their plan is if so many players test positive once camp starts and all that. But as far as like a favorite goes, I really, really like what I saw from Vegas this year, especially after the trade deadline. So I definitely like their shot out west, because they have a pretty easy division to play through. But I think Colorado is good too. And Tampa Bay, obviously, if they can get over their playoff woes, a little easy to say them. But it's just hard when you watch just how well they played from February onward. It's just really hard to kind of count them out, even if we remember what happened last year.
All right, very good. Well, Corey, thanks again for taking the time this morning to join me here talking some Sabres and everything like that. Hope you stay well and healthy throughout these times, and hopefully soon enough we can get back to talking about real hockey and getting to back to some sort of normalcy. So stay safe, stay well. Hopefully we'll get the chance to talk again soon.
Thanks, you too.
Thank you. Corey Snyder. Whoops, I shut down my mic again. After an interview, I shut down my mic. I don't know why I do that. I'm used to it on the board just because it's like, hey, it's done, and pot it down, turn it off, and all that stuff. But Corey Snyder, at Shutdown Line on Twitter, joining us here on the Wester Hotline. Some good thoughts on the Sabres and kind of what's going to happen here going forward with their offseason and what maybe moves they should look to make and who they should bring back, who they should move on from. Good listen there. If you missed it, you can listen to it on demand at WGR550.com. Corey will have that up in just a matter of moments. Or you can also listen on the radio.com rewind function on your phone or your tablet or however you're listening. You can be listening on your computer, too. You can use the radio rewind function on there. So be sure to go back, take a listen, and some good stuff from Corey, as always. And again, on Twitter, at ShutdownLine, some good stuff from him. Give him a follow and... yeah, thanks again to Corey for joining us. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. We'll discuss the defenseman discussion coming back. And I also want to get you Chad DeDominis' article that he put up on Die by the Blade with just his offseason plan going into this year now that the Sabres actually have their draft pick figured out with where they're selecting. And a couple of other scenarios that he brought up in his latest article on Die by the Blade. We'll go over that. And, of course, we'll wrap things up before Nate Geary takes over at noon for One Bills Live on WGR.
There's a lot of players who were good, like, in other places. And just when they put everybody on that team, it just didn't seem to work. The only one who they brought in from the outside that seemed to play really well was Henry Yokoharu. And a lot of the other guys, they had like their own individual skill sets that seemed like they were just kind of, they couldn't do what they do best. Like Brandon Montour is a very good skating defenseman in Anaheim, and in Buffalo, it's like he can only skate up to the red line and dump the puck in, and that's really it.
That was Corey Snyder from the hockey analytics community at Shutdown Line on Twitter, joining us on the Wester Hotline. We thank Corey for joining us again here on WGR. Brayton Wilson back with you here. A couple more segments before we sign off for the day as we have Nate Geary coming on at noon, filling in for One Bills Live today. I'm filling in for the Instigators today and tomorrow. And tomorrow for One Bills Live, it'll be the DiBiase brothers, Louie and Joe, filling in and providing some good content, some good football content for you tomorrow before Friday. Of course, everybody's off for the 4th of July holiday. That's when we observe it here. And then we'd be back to local programming on Monday with everything back in order. Howard and Jeremy, the Instigators, One Bills Live, Shope and the Bulldog, all back on a regular, normal schedule coming up on Monday. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 are the numbers. We're discussing the defensive group here and what that could look like going forward for the Buffalo Sabres, and also what Chad DeDominis has had for his roster coming up for next season. So obviously, if you follow Chad on Twitter, you would probably found the article that he had on Die by the Blade, Building the Sabres, the 2020 Offseason Project 2.0. He had his first version. This is his second version. And by the way, if you don't follow Chad on Twitter, I don't know what you're doing. You should follow him at CMDDominis on Twitter. DeDominicis. Sorry, let me do that again. CMDDominicis. Chad DeDominis is on Twitter. So here's his article that he has at Die by the Blade, his latest article, kind of him playing general manager of the Buffalo Sabres, playing the role of Kevin Adams. Obviously, Adams is going to have a lot of work to do this offseason when it comes to building a roster. And, I mean, first he's got to build his own staff. He's got to build his front office staff because, obviously, he had to move on from a lot of people in the organization. He's already promoted Jeremiah Crow from just a pro scout to the director of scouting. He's also added the assistant director of scouting role to Jason Nightingale, who is already the director of analytics. So now he's got to fill out the rest of his staff and also also build the roster for next year. So Chad has his list of what he's going to do this offseason, what he's looking to add to the Buffalo Sabres and making some trades as well as the mock general manager here. He does not have him trading Jack Eichel. Just a heads up. He does not trade Jack Eichel away. So thank you, Chad, for not driving us crazy here by doing anything stupid like that. But a really, really good breakdown of what type of moves he'd like to see the Sabres make, and also a nice little line chart for the Sabres, because that's a fun, unique thing that you can do at capfriendly.com, thanks to our friends at Cap Friendly. So, anyways, in terms of defensemen, because defensemen, we're talking about the defense, Chad has the Sabres moving both Rasmus Ristolainen and Brandon Montour. I think that these moves here made by Chad would be a really, really nice outcome for the Sabres if they can make this happen. The first trade would be Brandon Montour, and he has the Sabres acquiring Alex Kerfoot from the Leafs in exchange for Brandon Montour. One for one, going back to one for one trades Two days ago was the anniversary of the one-for-one trades, the infamous trades of Taylor Hall for Adam Larson and P.K. Subban for Shea Weber. So Chad DeDomenicis has Brandon Montour being traded to the Maple Leafs for Alex Kerfoot. And I really like Alex Kerfoot. He's a decent two-way guy.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, he brings a little bit more offensive upside to his game. Chad also includes the charts, the analytics charts from Micah Blake McCurdy on Twitter at Ineffective Math. He brings up his charts and some good stuff there with his offensive game. You know, it's a nice move to bring in a guy like Kerfoot, because I think that he can fill that role as a second-line center behind Jack Eichel for the time being, until Dylan Cousins is kind of ready to go to take over that role, and he mentions that in his article too. And if the Sabres can get Alex Kerfoot, I think it's a solid bet for the Sabres down the middle. You know, obviously you don't want him playing second-line center for multiple years, but maybe this year and maybe a little bit next year, that's what you have to do for now, that's fine. Then he has Rasmus Ristolainen being traded as part of a pretty big deal to the Calgary Flames. So the trade that involves the Flames has Rasmus Ristolainen, Rasmus Asplund, and Carter Hutton going to the Calgary Flames in exchange for Elias Lindholm, a 2021 conditional third-round pick, and the rights to Cam Talbot. So you're getting a pretty good top six forward in Elias Lindholm in this trade, and you're getting the rights to goalie Cam Talbot to get him signed and be the backup to Linus Allmark, because that's probably where you're going at this point, is you're going to make Linus Allmark your full-time starter for now until one of your young guys in Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen or Erik Portillo are ready to go to fill in. Portillo's going to be a little longer. Maybe Luukkonen can make an NHL impact in a couple seasons. But Chad has Elias Lindholm coming in, and in his line charts, he has Lindholm playing as the third line right wing. And I think this would be a really nice move for the Sabres, just because that he's a guy that is definitely more of the two-way guy. He's a guy that can be effective offensively, but he's very solid defensively. And in his charts here, you know, the defensive zone stuff, he plays on the penalty kill, and he's very, or actually, sorry, that's not the guy I'm looking for. Here we go. He plays both power play and penalty kill. My apologies. I'm looking at the wrong chart there. I thought something didn't look right. But Elias Lindholm plays both power play and penalty kill. The numbers are pretty darn good for him in both categories. And, you know, maybe he's a guy that can be a guy that can play that depth role and then be able to flip up to a top six role when needed if there's an injury or anything like that. And he's been a pretty good forward throughout his career, whether it's been in Carolina or whether it's been in Calgary. So he carries a contract with 4 years remaining at $4.5 million. And, you know, it's not so bad. And Lindholm is a guy who, hold on, I want to just bring up his stats here because, I mean, the stats are nothing really to speak home of with Elias Lindholm, but it's not anything that's been, you know, super underwhelming for his time in the NHL. Last year actually was not bad. 29 goals and 25 assists for 54 points. His best year came the year before in his first year with Calgary. 27 goals, 51 assists for 78 points, and that came in 81 games. So Elias Lindholm, a very, very productive player in his first year. This past year, maybe a little bit of a step back in production, but still not bad. And if you can get a guy like Lindholm to be, you know, a depth player playing third or second line role, that's a nice, really nice fit for the Sabres there. And then the third trade that he has is a nice trade to add to the defensive group, acquiring David Savard from the Blue Jackets in exchange for a 2021 second round pick and Marcus Davidson. Now, Savard, he's a little bit of an older player. He's got one more year left on his contract. And, you know, I don't really watch a lot of Columbus Blue Jackets hockey, but David Savard is a type of guy who can be who has a little bit of a nice offensive production to his game. He's solid defensively. He's got one more year left on his contract at $4.25 million, but certainly a guy. Last year he put up only 11 assists in 68 games, but I mean the year before that, 24 points, 8 goals, 16 assists in 82 games, and he's a guy that's been able to stay relatively healthy throughout his career. I mean, especially since the 2016-17 season, 74 games, 81 games, 82 games, 68 games. So Savard, if he could stay healthy, come here, maybe be a really nice addition for the blue line for the Sabres. So Chad actually is listening in. He added, so he said, just an FYI on the lines, the middle six lines are built on matching skill sets. Jeff Skinner with Alex Kerfoot and Dylan Cousins with Elias Lindholm. That's a really nice touch there by Chad to add that in. So then he goes on to free agency, and he says that, you know, in free agency, the Sabres should look to sign maybe a couple of guys that are out there. The first signing is Jesper Fast, who has spent a majority of his career, I think all of his career, with the New York Rangers. And he says that he would sign him to a deal that would be 3 years, $3 million per year. And then the other deal that he has is signing of John Merrill, who's played in Vegas, and he's only given him a one-year, $2 million contract, and he writes that it would give Jacob Bryson another year to develop in Rochester. So that's maybe with the idea that after this year, maybe then at that point, you could bring in a guy like Jacob Bryson to the NHL level and see how he goes in his first year. So check it out. DieByTheBlade.com. Chad DeDominis is with his latest article. And by the way, also, he does have the Sabres holding on to their eighth overall pick this year and taking Anton Lundell from Finland, a really nice two-way forward who played a majority of this season at the professional level in Finland. And he's got some nice offensive upside to his game. He's a solid guy down the middle. And Chad puts it in his article, he's a solid two-way center that may be one of the more NHL-ready prospects in this year's draft. So I would love the pick of Anton Lundell. I don't know. I mean, he's a guy that I think could squeak into the top 10, although I've seen a lot of people not have him in the top 10 as of late, but I definitely could see maybe him being a guy the Sabres could target with the eighth overall pick. A very, very solid centerman down the middle, played this year over in Finland. And let me just get his stats here, because I mean, for being a 18-year-old playing in the Finnish Liga, and for a team in HIFK, who's always a team that's seems to be in decent contention, and a guy that you know, he's 6'1", 183 pounds. That's according to his profile here. 187 pounds according to Elite Prospects. But this year in Finland, playing professionally, he actually did spend the entire year there. 10 goals, 18 assists for 28 points in 44 games, which is pretty darn good for an 18-year-old. So if the Sabres can add Anton Lundell in the draft, I'm all for it. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll Of course, there'll be more draft talk coming on later down the road just because, you know, there's just going to be so much time between here and now where we can keep discussing additions to the roster. Tomorrow, I definitely want to touch base on the goaltenders and get my thoughts on maybe what the Sabres should do in goaltending. But plenty to talk about more tomorrow as well. Maybe tomorrow there'll be an official announcement of this new CBA and everything like that. So tomorrow's show, a little bit more wide open as we're one day away from the weekend. As you know, Brian Duff's going to join us at 11 tomorrow, so we'll get the chance to chat with him. We'll get the chance to kind of catch up because the last time I talked with Brian was on a Sports Talk Saturday, and this was before the firing of Jason Bottrell. So get his thoughts on everything with that and get his thoughts maybe on where the Sabres go from here, especially with the eighth pick, what they do with Ristolainen, Montour, and all that sort of stuff, and get his thoughts. And we'll wrap things up and head to the early weekend, which will be nice, and hopefully everybody's going to enjoy their 4th of July weekend and enjoy the sunny, hot weather that's coming. So it's supposed to stay dry, too. It'll be a very, very nice 4th of July weekend. 803-0551, 888-552-550. We'll wrap up the show coming up here. Brayton Wilson filling in for the Instigators. Corey Griswold on the board, producing for me today on WGR. My thanks again to Corey Snyder for joining me here on WGR this morning. You follow him on Twitter at ShutdownLine. Good follow for anybody that's interested in some hockey takes and perspectives from a different look, mainly analytics-wise. Thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, calling in, interacting with me on today's show. Some thoughts with the discussions on trading or keeping Brandon Montour and Rasmus Ristolainen. Bub from Kansas writes in, trade Ristolainen and keep Montour because he looks not that bad on the ice. It's not that I don't think Brandon Montour looked terrible. It's just I think with the expectations that we had, I don't think he necessarily met the expectations. But, you know, if there's one guy that I would try, I mean, if I had to keep one or two, you made me pick between one of the two. I don't know. It's so tough just because I'd probably pick Brandon Montour, but just because probably just the fact that, you know, I feel like I've already seen enough of Rasmus Ristolainen. Even though Ristolainen's younger than Brandon Montour, Montour's 26, Ristolainen's 25. I feel like I've seen enough of Ristolainen to know exactly what he is. And maybe you could say the same about Brandon Montour, but I feel like I want to see Montour another season in this system and seeing if he could, improve on that. He's played 243 games in his NHL career, and some people will probably take that and say, well, you saw the numbers from Anaheim and Buffalo, and, that's probably what you're going to get. And, okay, I guess so. I can understand that argument, and I'd agree with you on that, but I'd almost like to see a little bit more of Montour, but that's just me personally. So if I had to move on from both, I'd definitely move both if I can get better players and get the right pieces in here. But if I had to keep one or keep the other, I'd probably stick with Montour, and that opinion could change as time goes on. Thanks again, everybody, for listening in, and I'll be back again tomorrow with the last show of the week. It'll be me filling in for the Instigators 10 to noon. Then the DiBiase brothers coming up tomorrow filling in for One Bills Live. But coming up next, it'll be Nate Geary filling in for the last time for One Bills Live this week. And he'll be coming up talking some good talk today, some good football talk. He's got guys like Joe Marino coming on at 1 o'clock today, Mike Tenier coming on at 2, John Ledyard at 2:30, and J.J. Zachariasen at 1:30. So be sure to stay tuned, listen in to Nate, and we'll be back again tomorrow coming up with another round of the Instigators, or me filling in for the Instigators at least. And then it's off to the 4th of July weekend. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in, and stay tuned. Nate Geary coming up next on WGR.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.